I'm just kind of curious. I don't know if you actually got into numbers with this patient, but if she wanted it, or if a patient like this wanted numbers. So she's got a 3.1 centimeter tumor, node negative, and a recurrence score of 19. If she were to say, what's the chance that the cancer is going to come back if I take, you know, ovarian suppression as well as an aromatase inhibitor? Incidentally, how long would you continue that therapy?
So the therapy I'd continue for 5 years, at least with the ovarian suppression. The question would be then, do we want to give extended endocrine therapy? And that's another big dilemma and question for us. The benefit from chemotherapy, I would probably say, would be in the 1.5 percentage points category, which, you know, most women do not want to be subjected to chemotherapy based on that benefit. The benefit of ovarian suppression, that's a question. And, you know, when you look at the text and soft, they did the step analysis. So what I usually do, and I don't remember if I actually did it in this case, but I look at the step analysis and I'm able to calculate what sort of benefit she would get from ovarian suppression plus an AI versus tamoxifen. And then I can have a little bit of a more discussion with them depending on how much data they want. A lot of patients, you know, don't want a lot of data. A lot of patients want to be told what to do or want to be given kind of a direction. But some patients really are data oriented. And in those patients, I sit down with the software and I calculate exactly what the benefit from ovarian suppression would be for her.
So, yeah, what I was wondering about is, because I was kind of flashing on a fantasy of a couple years from now, waking up, checking your phone and saying, oh, CDK is positive in adjuvant setting. So I was curious about the control arm and how much better, you know, we have to try to make it. This woman's, you know, a little bit bigger than a typical node negative patient, 3.1 centimeter. But what would you say if she were to ask you, maybe she did ask you, even in spite of all your therapy, your endocrine therapy you're talking about, what do you think my long-term risk for recurrence is? What do you think you would say for her?
I would again look at oncotype and the score of 19. I would take into account, because now it's prognostic data, so you want to take into account the tumor size. So with a score of 19, the risk of recurrence is somewhere between 10 to 15%. And because the size of her tumor is a little bit bigger, it probably would be closer to that 14, 15%. But that really would be it. Again, with tamoxifen, that's data with tamoxifen. I don't think it would be much higher than that. So if you give her ovarian suppression and AI, you're decreasing that by a few percentage points. So you're getting closer to that 10% long-term risk of recurrence.
So it'll be interesting, you know, I don't even know whether a patient like this would fit into some of these adjuvant trials. But, you know, if we did move towards a situation of adjuvant CDK and you think that she's got a residual risk of 10%, and if you could cut it in half, that'd be pretty substantial for a therapy that really doesn't have any life-threatening toxicities.
It would. If I recall, at least one of the adjuvant trials that we participated on, they either wanted positive lymph node patients or they wanted patients that had a high oncotype score. So I don't think this sort of patient would be incorporated in many of these trials, probably for a good reason, because a lot of them you consider their risk lower. And the risk is lower, that means it probably will take a while for their tumor to recur, which also means that these trials are never going to be completed. But also the benefit would be smaller than somebody who, let's say, has a 30% risk of recurrence on endocrine therapy. And then if you decrease it by half, which is what we've seen in the metastatic setting, then you're getting to 15%, which is a huge improvement.
Of course, you know, we're being optimistic by hoping it's going to have that kind of risk reduction. But I do think it is going to be interesting for patients like this, though, because they maybe couldn't have gotten on the trial, and yet if you do see a significant risk reduction, it might be tempting to do. So anyhow, it looks like it's something interesting to look forward to other than checkpoint inhibitors in the future.